Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Keep Talking with Sarah podcast. This episode is a little bit different than the first two because, like I mentioned on the last episode, I am going to be interviewing a very special guest today. Before we get to that, I want to quickly introduce the sponsor for today's episode.
Just be a light in the industry and just let people see your truth through your lifestyle and the way you live.
And that song that you just heard was one of our guest songs entitled Down. I let our guest introduce himself at the beginning of the interview, but I just wanted to touch on the fact that he brings up a lot of important messages, not only with his music, but in his life in general, that I think it's important to listen to, because while he is promoting his album that was just released last month, there's a lot that we can learn from what he has to say. Now I'd like us to keep talking over in the local coffee shop where today's guest and I had a lovely discussion about his new album, and I really hope that after this you guys check out his music because it really is great.
What's going on, everybody? It's Jonathan Ellie, rapper, producer, singer, philanthropist, entrepreneur. I'm joking. Nah, for real, but I'm here with my girl Sarah on her podcast, and I'm really, really excited, you know, to talk about my new album, Tomorrow They'll Care. I'm pumped. Let's get it.
So tell us a little bit about how long you've been doing music, kind of what inspired this project, what led you up to that?
So I've been in music since I was 2 years old. I started off playing the drums. I'm a musician first. I personally believe that I started off playing when I was 4 years old, but apparently I started playing when I was two. So growing up, I always aspired to be like a professional drummer, which then led me into studio work. But growing up, my dad was always in the studio, and I would hate going to the studio. I hated everything about it. All I wanted to do was play drums. If there was a drum set in the studio, that's what I was running to. Screw recording music, screw making songs, whatever. But I got into rapping when I was 9. I was going, attending this church in Atlanta, and we were in this youth group, basically, and they did like Christian rap. So that's kind of where it started at. Not only for me, but my brother too. We kind of started, we were both like 9. He started recording immediately then, but I just kind of just sat back. But I always loved rap. So technically, a lot of people don't know this, but I started in Christian rap and did that till I was like, I don't know. I started Christian rap when I was 13. Did that for like 1 year, realized that I felt boxed in. So I talked to my mother about it. She was kind of upset at first because she's like super Christian, but you know, she understood it. Her thing to us was always just be a light in the industry and just let people see your truth through your lifestyle and the way you live. So from then on, from 14, that's when I decided that I wanted to take music seriously. And I started working on my first album at the age of 14. It got delayed like 80 million times. I like had like several release dates that I would put out on social media and it would never come out. Just me being young, having like horrible grades in school, I couldn't like release music all the time. So that's how my parents would punish me, was just like, I'm gonna take the recording stuff away. So supposed to be working on this album, but I'm kind of glad it didn't come out, my first album at least. I'm kind of glad it didn't come out when I was that young, because it would have been absolutely horrible. Like some of the music that I made when I was like 15, 16 is just like But anyway, so just me from that point on, I grew in music, got better, just kind of honed in on my craft. And like I said, just the way my first album even came about, like I didn't release it till I was 23. So you know, just all that time in between that, I would do songs, got co-signed by a 4-time Grammy winner, Macklemore Ryan Lewis. So just building off of that and going into After the Internet, had no idea that the album was going to be as conscious as it was or politically, you know, driven, but that led me to that point, and I'm super thankful for it. I'm super thankful that it happened the way. And that's kind of how we got on this path. It all started with After the Internet, and from then on, it's just kind of been this huge fire, and it's just been going ever since.
Well, kind of talk about, so that leads into Tomorrow They'll Care.
Yeah.
And you have a pretty clear message that is conveyed from that one onto this one. Can you explain?
Yeah,
that?
So this whole universe of albums, it's a sequel, you know, kind of a trilogy, but you won't know that until a couple of years from now. But this whole thing is about accepting each other's differences, whether that be race, religion, color, creed, whatever it may be. Accept each other as we are, love each other and let's come together and be one. But in these albums, I talk about the different things that are different distractions that causes us not to be, whether it be the internet or real life experiences. So after the internet, I tackled how the internet, you know, it basically changed the whole generation as far as like how we interact with each other, how we get in relationships, how we view each other, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of times, you know, for me personally, after the internet was just focusing on just, you know, conversations in real life that people don't have anymore, almost relationships, you know, just admiring somebody through a phone rather than knowing, you know, who they actually are, you know what I'm saying? Like there's so many people, you know, not leaving room for imagination these days. It's just, I want to show myself off, I want to do this, I want to do that. And that's an issue because it gives you unrealistic expectations as far as that. Not even to get too deep into that, but that's just something that I see a lot of people struggle with online. It's just, why can't my relationship look like that? Why am I not like them? All of these things. So after the internet tackles that, just on a morals perspective, that's not even the storyline. That's just for us in the real world. But deeper, after the internet is about this kid who, it's 80 years from now, and he's living in a suburban neighborhood, grew up really, really privileged, you know, nice neighborhood and all that stuff. And at this point in the world, because we didn't accept each other's differences, it's basically World War III. There's no law enforcement. People can just walk into your house and steal, take whatever they want from you. And it's really bad. It's like really, really bad because the internal conflict finally just, I guess, rose over the top, if you will. And I really think that'll be the death of us, honestly, if we don't, you know, learn how to love each other. So he's in this environment, and all he wants to do is just, you know, go back to a good time where things are normal, you know, when life seems simple. So that's why in the album he's listening to his iPod, 8 songs actually, and he's listening to these different songs. That's why after the internet is just so wavy and just so different. It's so, you know, vibrant and just, you know, colorful. Way more colorful than Tomorrow's Up Here. But that's because on these iPods, just different songs from different times and his favorite artists. But his favorite artist is Childish Gambino, hence the name after the internet, who was also my favorite artist because of the internet, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, so, you know, what I got from Because of the Internet was about kind of how I feel about after the internet, just the way I explained it earlier. So wanting to tie that in and give reverence to one of my favorite rappers, one of my like biggest inspirations as far as creativity goes, which is just, you know, the number one priority, but also not copying it at the same time. I didn't want to come off as a copycat, and I think we did a really good job of after the internet sounds nothing like because of the internet. But anyway, back to the story of me and on topic. So yeah, so this kid, he's listening to these songs on his iPod, he's in his room writing this note to Gambino, hoping that he'll see it one day. Probably won't. And he knows that at any moment somebody can break into his house and kill him and take all his stuff. And that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens. And that's where Tomorrow Though Care picks up. It's about the guy who breaks into the house.
Right.
So.
And so we talked about Gambino being a huge inspiration to you.
Yeah.
And also you mentioned people, you know, like J. Cole, a little bit of Frank Ocean. Who else would you say?
Yeah, Kendrick, J. Cole, Frank Ocean, James Blake, Gambino, of course. And just so many, like, super-duper musical artists. Like, I'll listen to anything. Like, I'll listen to anything from, like, rock to, like, gospel. I'll listen to, like, a lot of gospel. So people can say Chance, which is crazy. Because I have a funny story about Chance the Rapper. When I first started, when I was doing Christian music, my dad was like, if you want to do just, you know, secular music, why don't you still have like a Christian base to it? You know, like a Christian sound, like a gospel sound. Mm-hmm. And I laughed at him. I was like, that would never work. And, you know, a couple of years later, Chance is doing the same exact thing.
Yep.
And it just, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. I could have beat him to it. But, you know, those are a few of my inspirations. Like I said, I pull it from anywhere. Just like some unknown artist, just like, I don't know, it's just, I pull it from my friends, you know, I'm inspired by my friends who do music as well, and you know, I just like being around great people musically, you know, and helping people as well. I help produce a lot of other different songs for a lot of other artists as well, so yeah,
because you're producing all this yourself, right?
yeah so I did the majority of it. I worked with my good friend Nick, and I worked with my alter ego Mono on this as well. So if you've been following the Mono Instagram page, I just revealed that it's not real. It's just my alter ego. It was just for marketing purposes. So Mono's not real. I can't tell you how many of my friends have sent Mono messages. Like, he's like a legit person. It's been hilarious. But yeah, I did pretty much everything except one beat. That's just kind of how it's always been. I mix, master, all that. I do the graphics, all that stuff, just everything, you know. So yeah.
And what about music videos? Are we gonna see any for any of these?
Hopefully. There's so much about Tomorrow They'll Care. Just like I said, I know I have some fans that wants to understand Tomorrow They'll Care as far as like the story, but some of the ideas are just so far out of my budget. I just would never shoot a music video and just do the song injustice. But if I can tackle some of the story, you know, in the music videos, then that's definitely what I'll do. Like I said, the story picks up from the guy that shot, you know, he didn't shoot him. Just spoiler alert, he did not shoot him. Yeah. But he thought about it. So it comes from that story about the decisions he made back to a road of redemption. This album is more or less about the, you know, aggressiveness in it and the things that he went through, and it's more about him finding himself. I think that's really important, and that's another moral nugget that I threw in there. It's, you know, no matter what, no matter what you go through, like, things can always be better. You can always improve. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's perfect. We're all a project, you know what I'm saying? It's never, no matter how dark it gets, you can always find light in any situation. And that's what this album is about, without giving too much, you know, away. He goes through a lot of stuff. Like, if you've heard the album, you know how dark it got. I talked to one of my friends earlier, and just because he knew me personally, he said it was just so hard to listen to it, because it wasn't that, you know, he didn't believe the story, but just coming from me, it just felt like, whoa, you know, this is crazy. Yeah. But I told him, I was like, if I got you to do that, then that means I did my job, because that means I told the story and I put you in the setting that I want. I wanted you to feel and hear and, you know, experience the language. I know the language may be a little vulgar, but that's really how it is. Like, yeah. It's that bad. It's, you know, the situations are, I mean, honestly worse. Like, I cut back a lot on this album. It could have been a lot. Like, I know Casey had to tell me to, like, you know, some of the songs were just too much. So, but it's crazy because my fans have always wanted me to go in. But, you know, like, it was, this album could have been too much. Like, I really had to, like, just chill out, you know what I'm saying, bring it back. I think Riot is probably the most song, but I have more of those. But, you know, like I said, I want the videos to portray that story, and I want to do it the right way. So we're going to take our time with that, you know, as far as music videos go. And, you know, we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah. Well, and what's been, like, the general reaction to the songs? Because I know for me, Sunday Night is the one that I kind of related to the most. But do you think the way people are relating to it kind of has to do with their relationship with, you know, the internet and also the topics that you're talking about?
Absolutely. Him? This album, you know, it's, if you're secure in whatever you believe in, I think it's really, you're able to appreciate, you know, the good and the bad about this album. You know, if you have a good relationship with Christ, then you're able to appreciate him coming back, you know, home, basically, and, you know, giving himself and putting it all in God's hands at the end of the story. But the response has been, like, amazing. Like, I haven't heard one bad thing about it, which is crazy because it's the most left-field album I've ever made. I'll probably never make one like it again because I'm not the type of guy. I'm a nice guy. It's like all sunshine here. Like, yeah. I'm like, you know, I'm a happy guy, you know. So just these two albums being the way they are, it's just like kind of mind blowing that I was able to pull it off, because it's like, man, like, this is not me, you know. But this is a story that I wanted to tell that I think can help somebody, and really help somebody that's in that situation for real. Like, really help that inner city kid in 2019 that don't think he can get out of his situation, that really lost some friends, that really lost his best friend to, you know, police brutality, or really got, you know, shot up by, you know, his house got shot up or anything like that. Like, that stuff's really happening today. Like, people are really dying.
Yeah.
Like, that's no joke. Like, I'm not lying about any of that stuff. Like I said, I think I'm blessed to be in a situation where my parents got me out of something like that. We were living in a rough part of New Jersey when I was growing older, and they made the decision to move us down to Georgia because she didn't want us to grow up in that. But, you know, it could have been the same way for me. I could have grown up in that same environment, and I'm just blessed and thankful that I wasn't. But, you know, I pray for the people that are. That's what this album is. This is for them. That's why I put a disclaimer out about it before I drop it. I was like, look, I know I haven't went through any of this. These are not things I did, but, you know, my heart breaks for the people that are really in those situations that are in Section 8 that don't know where their next meal is coming from. And I just hope that we can all learn from this and learn, you know, to appreciate their side, but also teach those people not to be, you know, because the whole thing started off, he was so mad at the privileged people. And, you know, the whole thing is, like I said, it all goes back to love. You know, it's just love. That's what this album is about. As aggressive as it is, it's all about love, man. I think, you know, that's the common theme, and that's what I'm trying to portray.
So, yeah. Well, okay, so this is your only album maybe like this.
Yeah.
But you're looking at going pop.
Yeah. Yeah, if you heard my first album, I had a song in there called Make You. It was the lead single. And, you know, just one of my friends told me, he was like, I really think you can do the pop music thing. And I've always, like, you know, felt that I could do that. But just, like, I dropped my first song back in 2013. It's called Gravity. It's a pop record. It's just kind of like what I'm good at. So I'm definitely going to try it. I'm not saying it's going to work or it's going to, you know, be successful, but it's just something that I want to do. That's just how I am musically. I'm always going to do what I want to do musically. I'm never going to try to stick to a certain sound. I'm always going to try to advance my sound and just do something different. Like, yeah. My album after that may be an album full of piano ballads. For all I care. I have a piano ballad on a rap album. Who does that?
Yeah.
I do. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, it's fun. You know, it's just fun. I just had fun with it. This album, you know, it was fun. We spent almost 2 years on it, but it was fun to make. You know, it couldn't have came out any better. I'm so thankful for everybody who helped with it. Ali, Rachel Bryan, my friend Nigel, my friend Jordan, who did the skits, my homie Nick, who produced on there, just everybody, my friend Austin, Glenn, Joey, they all played on there. There's so many more people that I worked with on this album, and it's a masterpiece, for real. It truly is.
Yeah. So what about touring? Are you going to do any touring with this? Like, and
I'm hoping so.
How can people reach you?
Yeah, so I normally do a concert every year. Last year we did Hard Rock downtown Atlanta. Almost sold it out. First time in Atlanta, never played there. Almost sold it out. But we're thinking bigger this time. Every show we do, we actually did a show here in Auburn one time. It felt incredibly. Like, I think like 40 people may have showed up. But you live and you learn. But every show literally gets bigger. So I post on my social media. I try to, at least. I'm not too big on that as far as like updating like what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But when I have a show, you'll know. We'll announce it. I got some crazy, crazy, crazy things in store as far as like concert. You have to come see me live. It's crazy. It's an experience. Like, it's fun. You know, I do all ages. I don't discriminate on age and all that stuff. So, you know what you're getting into. You know what you're getting into. That's my whole motto. So, yeah.
Well, I will definitely come to one, and I'll bring people with me. But, okay, so how can they reach you, like, on social media?
Yeah, everything Jonathan Elley, JonathonElley, Instagram, Twitter, all of that, Facebook, YouTube, MySpace, Bebo, eHarmony, Icy Color, Farmers Meat. Yeah, all the sites I'm on. I'm literally on every site. I kid you not.
Yeah, well, I'll link some of them. Yeah, I'll link them.
And, yeah, link those. Please link the eHarmony site.
Like, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. I'll definitely do
I'm
that.
Looking for love.
Yeah. Well, anything you want to add before we...
Oh, yeah. Man, make sure y'all go get that new album, Tomorrow They'll Care, from yours truly. It's the best album of 2019.
Yep, it is.
I said that. I'm probably going to regret that, but J. Cole's probably going to drop a hotter album than me in a couple of weeks. Or Kendrick Lamar, but that's okay. But for right now, I got the best rap album of the year. So.
Well, thank you for doing this.
Of course.
And we're definitely looking forward to what you're going to be putting out. Down the
road.
What did you guys think? Before the interview, don't forget that you heard the song Down, and just now you heard the song I Know. I hope that you really liked the interview format and also us being out somewhere doing that. I thought it was a pretty cool atmosphere. We will definitely be having more interviews on later episodes, so stay tuned for that. I will have everything linked below so you can look up Jonathan's accounts on Spotify and YouTube. Not the eHarmony though. His girlfriend Cassie was wonderful enough to video the interview, so you can check that out on YouTube soon. And thanks for listening to today's episode. If you're listening on Spotify or iTunes, feel free to subscribe or follow along so that way you can see when new episodes are posted. And if you are listening on iTunes with the Apple Podcasts app, please leave a review. It would mean a lot, and I would really love to hear your feedback if you're not already, you know, texting me or messaging me that in some way. So thanks for listening to today's episode, and I can't wait to get back with you soon about a lot of things that I have had on my mind to share with you this past week or so. But for now, I'll catch you next time. Yeah.